Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Hey, Allison, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the Holistic Wealth Podcast. And I'm so happy to share with the audience that you're the first certified holistic wealth consultant, which is just amazing. And your journey in and of itself is amazing. And so happy to have you here to share your experiences with us.
Thank you, Keisha. I am so happy to be here too. It's a long time coming.
Been a long time coming. A lot of the women that we've been covering on the show, on the podcast, have similar transitions. You know, they started out in a different field and found their passions. And I know you have a similar story. So can you tell us a bit about that journey and how that transition took place for you and what prompted that?
Well, I started out my career as an environmental engineer. I wanted to go and change the world for the better. And I think I was that idealistic 14-year-old that wants to go and take everything on. And I loved math and science. My dad was an engineer, so it just made sense to go into engineering. And that was a great career. I have no complaints about it. I loved it until one day when I had a family. I had my daughter. And I thought I would be one of these parents that popped out the kid and was back at work in 3 months. I really had no clue what I was in for. I just fell so in love. And it really, yeah, and I know you can relate to that. I think any mom, at least eventually, can relate to that. And I really could not face going back to work, even though I loved my job. And yeah, so I did take 2 years off, and then I started looking at consulting and doing different kinds of casual work or part-time work related to my field. And then I helped my husband get started in real estate. He was transitioning from being a developer with his dad in a family company to being a real estate agent, which in his mind was a lot more stable than being a developer. So I helped him get his business off the ground. And it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that there was another way to earn income besides going to work full time. And in a way, sacrificing a lot of your freedom of time.
I can relate to that. And it's so funny how life changes once you become a mother and, you know, you place your eyes on them and everything changes. And so I totally relate. And as you know, in Holistic Wealth, I talk about a lot about freedom over your time and money as something that so many women want and value now.
Completely relate. And I see that with men as well. Like, men are starting to realize the millennial generation is amazing. They're recognizing that money isn't everything. It's really important for our quality of life, our freedom, our choices, but it's not worth sacrificing all other aspects of your life. And I think that is what you capture so beautifully in Holistic Wealth, is this trend and these values that we have the luxury in our society to be able to step back and evaluate and hopefully make some choices.
For sure. And so you're in the financial industry right now. And I know we've discussed before how the book resonated with you because of some gaps that we've both seen and experienced. And I wanted to get your insights in terms of telling the audience a bit about that and what really struck you about reading the book and what those were. By the way, how did you first hear about the book? I've never gotten a chance to ask you that, but how did you first hear about it?
That is a great question. I don't remember, but basically as soon as I heard the title, Holistic Wealth, I'm all about holistic. Even though I'm an engineer and I love to analyze, I think one of the reasons I never really felt like I fit in engineering was that I can see all the grays, you know, when I say, well, it could be this or it could be that or this could work. Even in engineering, environmental engineering was about bringing different parties together and interpreting the language of different engineering disciplines. And that's a skill set I bring into the financial field, which, by the way, I never imagined I would be working in. I think in finance, the industry is very siloed. And so when I saw the words holistic, and wealth put together, I knew I was in. Part of the role that I have in serving families is helping them make the best use of every, not just every dollar, but every hour of time, because that's often what our dollars equate to, is time. And it's impossible to make decisions when you're talking to one person and they work in this field, and another person works in this field, another works in another field, and they're all telling you that what they have is the best, and that's where you should put your resources. And I think people need an interpreter, they need education, and they need to understand and have someone guide them. And that's really an approach that the company I work with takes, and that I personally bring to the table, because, you know, we're not taught about money, we're not taught financial literacy. And I think one of the first quotes I heard from you was the quote about how financial literacy is the foundation of sustainability. That is something I've always thought. My work in sustainability, to me, it's one and the same in my work in finance, because it's about social sustainability. We can't keep going on a trajectory of never-ending economic growth and the gap between the rich and the poor growing ever wider and have a sustainable society. And so I think what I'm doing is just my own little way of trying to level the playing field a bit.
And you're absolutely right. I know we've spoken before as well about the rates of financial literacy and how so many people out there need the information to be financially literate. And I know that's part of the work you do and part of your mission, which is great, because when my husband died, and you know my story through the book, I was an economist. I was a trained economist, you know, writing budgets, and I was well on my way. Like I knew the stuff. But even then, I felt vulnerable. So I can't imagine having been in that position and not being financially literate. I just can't imagine that. And so many people out there would be in that position, and it scares me. And one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book and get this message out there with my story, because I was widowed at 31 with two young kids, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, if I did not have things in place, if I was not well-trained and versed in these things even before I had a financial advisor, like I had everything in place, what would have happened? And I shudder to think about the millions of women and men out there who would be so vulnerable had they been in my shoes. And I know that's part of your mission. And I don't know if you could speak to that a bit more in terms of what you've seen with your practice.
I totally agree with you. And I shudder to think what my 31-year-old self would have done if something had happened to my husband and left me with a young family. I really stumbled into the financial industry. Although I had done an MBA, I learned about corporate finance. I still couldn't have told you whether in Canada, the RRSP or the tax-free savings account, kind of like a Roth IRA or a 401k, which would have been a better place to put my money. And I think I had some life insurance in place, but just based on budget. So I really was not financially literate. And I probably thought I was, which is almost worse, right? Most people think they know enough if they do think about it at all. So yeah, our mission is to eliminate financial illiteracy and make it seem as ridiculous as illiteracy in our society. And when you think about it, why do we allow people to graduate from not just high school, but university and college without understanding the difference between compound and simple interest, without understanding how life insurance works, and to learn by mistake? I mean, I'm all for learning by mistakes, but not when it comes to mission critical things like our money. It really hit me at a time when I learned this stuff as a professional and as someone who'd kind of made some mistakes. I thought, if this is something I haven't learned, then what about everyone? What about everyone else who hasn't even had post-secondary education in any financial degree or even had post-secondary education? You know, what chance do they have of winning at the game of money? And I really think of it as a game, and you have to know the rules. You have to know the rules of the game, how taxes work, you know, how to protect your precious dollars from going into big corporations that know how money works, right? You want to buy the companies, not the things the companies produce. Little things like that to kind of arm yourself against all the marketing. I think the other thing that was really resonated with me was the concept you have of knowing your financial or having a financial identity. And I think I was one of those women who kind of went from a protected home environment to kind of an artificial university campus environment to then living with a man, right? Living with a partner and not necessarily having the opportunity to make big financial decisions and understand what my own identity and my own journey was. So yeah, financial identity, I think, was a really great concept you brought up as well. So if you could see my copy of the book when I read it, it's highlighted, it's flagged. I've got quotes all over the place. Like, I basically read and reread your book when I got it. And I just knew I had to connect with you and find out more.
And I'm so happy for that. And you're right. The concept of financial identity has been one that it struck a chord with readers, because I've had readers reach out to me and they want to know more. They want to know which one they are and how they can leverage it and what are the strengths and weaknesses. As you know, it's part of the certification program, the Certified Holistic Wealth Consultant Program. And as you were speaking, to be honest with you, Allison, I remember this quote that Arianna Huffington pulled out of the book and posted on our social media. And it has to do with the art of recovery from disruption. And I thought that quote she pulled out was so deep, because when I wrote the book, it was in the very beginning, I think I have in the introduction, that, you know, how you're talking about the school system and being ill-prepared with financial literacy. Yeah. And I felt ill-prepared when I became widowed, even though I knew that much. But I felt the same way like you did when you read the book and you said, well, I don't know my financial identity, or I don't know what that would be. And I felt that way too. And in that way, I felt ill-prepared, because what I went through after my husband died was this going through around and around in circles. What would he think if I, you know, if I bought this? So that's what led me to that conclusion. I had partially embraced my financial identity during our marriage because I knew I was a risk taker, which is one of the personality profiles. I knew I was a risk taker, but he was a minimalist. And I felt like I had to hold back on my financial identity because he was a minimalist. And so I advocated during our marriage for, you know, making certain investments, which helped me as well become more financially resilient. But I felt like if I had really fully embraced it, that I would have done even more. So put it that way, like that's why I talk about the art of recovery from disruption, all of these things to that art. So that's why I wanted to develop this program. And you have your journey, and it's a journey a lot of women can identify with. And yeah, I wanted to start there. And so just going back to the book again, what were, apart from those two parts, and even when you thought of becoming a certified holistic wealth consultant, was there anything else that kind of pushed you in that direction?
The other message that really resonated with me was the mental toughness. And that may seem like a strange thing, but when I looked for a way to earn money, not trade time for money, not because I wanted more time and the same money, at least, I realized I needed to become more entrepreneurial. And besides not really learning about money in school, the entrepreneurial mindset is another component that we're not really taught in school. Maybe there's just not room for it, because to educate mass number of kids, maybe there just isn't room for everybody to be a little entrepreneur advocating for what they want. But that was a skill set I was completely lacking. And it took me a few years to build up my mental toughness to completely change my mindset around rejection and making mistakes and failing forward and not always knowing the answer before I dove into something. And so I've done a lot of work on mental toughness, and you use that exact phrase about mental toughness. And so mental toughness is something that I don't think we can just take for granted that we'll learn, kind of like financial literacy. And the other part was, and I think this is just comes maybe with age for me, was kind of a realization that that spiritual wellness is so important. And it's not necessarily something the younger version of me would have put as much emphasis on, but just recognizing that we need to nourish our souls. And when we're caught up in the busy work of day-to-day life, it's very easy to forget to do that. And, you know, I could intellectualize the environmental, the physical. I've always been very physical, and it's always been very important to me to take care of my health and nutrition, you know, the financial, but the spiritual component, that took me a little longer to appreciate. And I love that you've integrated that into the book, because often it does take a tragedy or a major life change to have that appreciation. I feel it's such an amazing message to incorporate.
For sure. And I think why that became so obvious to me, you know, in the midst of that tragedy was when I took that 1 year sabbatical and I had the time to really go inward and to reflect on what I'd been through and kind of the way I wanted to move forward. And I felt like if I didn't have that time, there's no way this book would have been out in the world today. There's no way my message would have been holistic wealth. There's no way we would have been talking today. And a lot of that was a spiritual aspect. Because, you know, in the book, I talk about mindfulness and really having the time to meditate and to just trust your intuition, think about what you want to do. A lot of that was very healing for me, and I would not have gotten the inspiration and the messages that I've been able to put in this book if I didn't have that part of this equation and have that as a big part of the process. And, you know, like lots of people are talking about mindfulness now and, you know, meditation and yoga and all this good stuff. But once you've been through a crisis and you've had to apply it, it's on new meaning. I mean, on my sabbatical, like I got up at 3 a.m. every morning and I would just lay awake in expectancy and just listen to that voice in my innermost self. That's kind of part of the inspiration for holistic wealth and why it came together like this is because I took the time away to kind of do that soul searching and that thinking. So it's a critical part of it. And I'm glad that's something that you actually brought up. That's very important. It's one of my favorite parts of the book.
Mine too. And I think what's so nice is that you have given a language and a framework around the things that matter, not just to women, but I think women have been talking about these things or more willing to talk about these different things. My intuition, my gut feeling, this doesn't feel right, or I feel like we should do this. And it's so easy in a business and engineering and science context to dismiss intuition and those feelings and what may feel right or feel wrong because there's no language to describe it. And I think by giving this framework, it just elevates the conversation, especially for women, and empowers women to be able to validate their feelings and their intuition in a way that has traditionally been very difficult with maybe a more traditional money discussion, which is just about the numbers and almost attempts to take all emotion out of it, ironically.
Completely agree. And it's so funny because after my husband died, I had this new perspective on wealth. We had a life insurance policy. We had things in place. So money was not an issue. After he died, money was not an issue. But still, wealth to me did not feel like that. It's so funny, eh? Like I had everything put in place and I did not feel at that point holistically wealthy. I felt broke. I felt broken. I was financially independent from then because things were in place. But I realized, you know, and I said this in that viral article that I wrote, that when the nurses gave me that white plastic bag in the hospital room with his wedding ring, his jewelry, everything valuable, I thought, okay, this financial wealth, everything that we pin our identity on and how we define ourselves, this can't be it alone. This cannot be it because this is what happens. You get it, you know, you leave it behind and it doesn't go with you. And what came to me was that, you know, I think we have to broaden the conversation now. I think it's time for us to think a bit broader. And you're right. Now we have the words to say, well, no, I want to be holistically wealthy. I don't want to just have the money. I want to feel whole. I want to have control over my time. I want to spend time with my kids. I want that control over my money. And if I work, I want it to be on my terms. And that's exactly how I felt coming out of that tragedy, because here I was, a single mom now, right, with two young kids. So I had to redefine what life and what success would look like. I couldn't say, well, success for me was climbing the corporate ladder and reaching to the top anymore, because that would not be it at all. And I think COVID has shown us that. I mean, this year, it has shown us in no uncertain terms.
100%. And for me, you know, it's funny, my husband, who grew up as an entrepreneur and is also Jamaican, as you know, which has also caught my attention, he grew up completely privileged. Like, he had everything you can possibly imagine. And his family went through a lot of financial ups and downs, just the nature of development. But one thing he realized through that was money, you're not going to feel any different inside if you have a lot of money. He's also a minimalist. So I really resonate with what you said about your former husband. My husband is a complete minimalist. He doesn't want anything. And here's me, grew up middle class. It's like, I want things. And now, 8 years of being a financial advisor and seeing from so many different angles, relatively objective point of view, people's relationship with money. And I get it. I finally get it. And as I've been growing my business and making that money, which I'm now earning in a completely different way than just showing up at work, I value the fact that I've earned that money and I want to save and invest it. I don't even really want those things anymore. So I see my own relationship with money changing and realizing that the journey of the entrepreneur has been about the mental toughness, as you brought up in your book, and about the freedom of time, about growing into a different person. That's what's paid me, if that makes any sense, more than the financial reward that it's brought. And a lot of times when people talk to me about being an entrepreneur, they think it's about the money. But usually if they're going to be a successful entrepreneur, it's about their passion for what they're doing.
That's so true. It's the passion. What would you say for people listening in who are thinking about that entrepreneurial journey? What would be one key to success that you would say, regardless of industry, regardless of product, what would be that one thing that you would urge them to kind of narrow in on?
Well, that's a great question. There's so many things. I think one is being aware that you're going to go through an identity change. It's not just about changing what you do for a living. It's a complete change in your identity. And that can come with its own set of existential crisis, you know, and being open to that and prepared for that, and having the support of your family and friends, because a lot of times a comment from a close family or friend can take an entrepreneur out if it's just at the right time when they're at a down point. And so to kind of know that you're going to, those naysayers, right? You talk about those naysayers, to expect the naysayers. It just seems like a universal principle that when people see you change, which you're going to change, that they're going to try and keep you where you are because they don't want you to change necessarily. And so to expect that and to be able to embrace it and to remember that you're increasing your mental toughness with every step forward that you take.
Wise words for sure. And just in terms of the program, I just wanted you to just share a bit about your feelings about that and how that went for you just in general in terms of the holistic wealth consultant program.
Yeah, I think that every advisor should at a minimum read this book. I think it will make you a better advisor because you're going to be able to draw information and feelings and articulate things for people, because our goal as advisors is to help people articulate what they want. And people don't necessarily have the language to do that, or they may feel reluctant to share, well, what I really want is spend time with my 5-year-old daughter. I don't want to climb the corporate ladder, which is what I think I'm supposed to want, and which I may be really good at, by the way, right? And so being able to recognize that those are valid goals, and they will have a financial implication. Even so, sometimes when we talk about what are some of your goals, people think we mean how much do you want to save in your retirement account. And so it's broadening the perspective so that you can really be of service to your clients. And I think in terms of the certification, I think it sends a message to potential clients that you're more, you can bring more to the table than just a calculator. You know, you can really be a guide for them in their life planning, not just their financial planning.
So funny. And I say this in the program. I say that if I had a certified holistic wealth consultant there for me when my husband died, I would have been light years ahead, because that's exactly what I needed at that point. I mean, I had my financial advisor and he was great, but he could only bring me so far and no more. So what he did for me, Allison, was mainly just, here's some paperwork to fill in for, to claim various things or to tie up some loose ends with the estate. It wasn't, okay, how are we going to move forward now? And what are your life goals? And how do you see this changing your situation, Keisha? Like, how do you see this becoming a single mom now with two kids? Surely things are going to change. And how do you see this impacting your life? And what steps can we put in place for you to achieve what is it you want to achieve with your newfound status? That's what this program brings to the table. And I'm so honored that you're the first one, Allison. I know you get it very deeply in terms of what women need, what financial advisors should be bringing to the table. And I'm hoping that we can really, really change the world with this.
We need more women in the industry. And so often women are scared away from the industry because they may be intimidated by the numbers or by the dryness, or the perceived dryness. This is a people business, and women are amazing as advisors, certified holistic wealth advisors and financial advisors. Just a final word from me on the industry. I found a network of advisors and a company that is really changing the way advisors are compensated. So often, advisors are only compensated to sell a product or to sell a plan or to put a plan in place. They're not compensated to really care for their clients in a deeper way. And I think when you are able to be an entrepreneur and run your business the way you want to run it and bring your values to the table, then you can see it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, no, very true. Absolutely true. And especially when somebody is emerging from a life-altering setback, you know, as so many will be with COVID-19, it's even more important then as well. And so thank you for being here, Allison, and sharing with us. And I just want you to tell listeners where they can find you. So like your social media, your website.
Oh, thank you. So Allison Seton, AllisonSeton.com will get you to my US website, and .ca will get you to my Canadian. And I'm Allison Seton on Instagram as well. I try to keep it simple.
So now they know where to find you if they need to get in contact with you to help them, you know, better set up and plan ahead, which is so important. So thanks again, Allison, for joining us. And it was great having you on the show.
It was my pleasure. Keep up the great work.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, prosperity and happiness.